All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to True North. For those of you who might not know me, my name is Philip Schmidt. I overlead our care and prayer team here at True North, and I just have the privilege to welcome you all here this morning. So as we enter into this time of worship, we just have a couple announcements that we want to make everyone aware of. The first one I'd like to point your attention, if you're new here, to our connection card. They are in the seat backs in front of you. This connection card is really just for us to have the opportunity to get to know you, to let us know that you are here, because really what we want to do is to be able to come alongside you in relationship, to introduce you to Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, He's our Savior, and really we have this experience, this relationship with Him that we want to share with you. So if this is your first time, we just want to know that you are here. We actually also have an online connection card that you can fill out for those of us who are joining us online. All you have to do there is to text New True North to 97000, and that way we can connect with you online as well. Next, something that we really cherish around here is baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith in that when you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first thing that He commands us is to be baptized. It's a symbolism of we are just putting to death our sin and we are made alive in Jesus. And so it's just symbolically of a washing and a raising to new life. And so we have believer's baptism coming up. So if you are a new believer who's never been baptized, or if you've been a believer for a while and have never been baptized since proclaiming faith in Jesus, you can go to our website, find out information there, connect with us, let us know, and we will get you signed up, and we will love to just come alongside you in your relationship with Jesus and get you baptized. Lastly, before we continue our time of worship, is offering. The space that you see around here, the lights, the music, everything that we do here is requiring finances. And if you call True North your home, we just want to say thank you for partnering with us with your time, talent, and treasures. Just the reality of ministry is it requires finances. And so we don't believe in passing plates around here because we don't want to guilt anyone to give. Really what we want is for our giving to be an outpouring of faith from what God has blessed us with. We just want to give back. And so we have numerous ways to give here at True North. We have a box in the back. You can drop a check, you can drop cash, whether, during or after the service, box right in the back. You can also give online, set up a recurring giving, which is what we strongly encourage our members to do, so that way we can better budget and just have an idea of where of the things that we can do and where we can take True North in the future. And lastly, you can text any amount to 84321. That's probably the easiest way, the simplest way to give. But again, we don't want to guilt anyone. Really, again, giving of your time, talent, and treasure is really just a way to worship our Lord and Savior. And so we just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. Without further ado, I'm just going to turn back over to the worship band as we continue our time of worship.
Jesus is calm. come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Yeah.
God, man. Thanks, guys, for worshiping with us. How about a hand of just thanking God that we have the freedom to worship? Amen? It's awesome. Sorry, I'm not supposed to stand that close. All right. Well, welcome, guys, to True North. I see some new faces, and so starting today, what we're going to do is have all of you come up as new people and tell us something about you. I'm kidding. All right, good to see you guys. I'm so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this message, and if you guys were here last week, Cam kicked us off with a new series called Disciple, and if you remember, he kind of talked us through the role of God's word in being a disciple and how we are pursuing that truth. And today we're going to be talking about an exciting topic. But before we get to that, I thought we'd start with the game, if that's okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a word. And what I want you to do is whoever's sitting next to you, the very first thing that comes to mind, tell them what that is, right? And you guys can compare answers and see if there's any similarities. Cool? All right. So the first word, let's do fruit. It's the first thing that comes to mind. All right. How many apples? Anyone? Okay. Ooh, I think majority. Bananas? Ooh, that's tight. I still think apples win. Sorry, Justin, when he sees this. Right? Let's do another one. How about flour? First thing that comes to mind. Okay. Oh, so let's see, rose. How many people said rose? All right. I think somebody said sunflower. One. Look at that. That's awesome. Oh, that's great. All right, one more. Worship. It's the first thing that comes to mind. Worship. All right, so how many of your answers were like singing or music, something related to that? Oh, okay. All right. I'm interested now. What were the other answers? Shout a few out.
Jesus.
Praise. Okay. Awesome. Good. Well, if you haven't noticed yet, what we're talking about is worship today, and such an exciting topic to be talking about. And, you know, when I was thinking about just mankind and worship, it kind of makes sense that we are made to worship. We're created in God's image, and from the hieroglyphics on cave walls to, civilizations from way back, all through archaeology, and even today, we see where worship is a big part of humankind, right? It's kind of a natural thing. And if you think about it, like today, the things that are worshiped, a lot of time is spent on those things, right? Whether it's our bodies, or we're chasing money or fame or power. The list goes on, right? And also, to be honest, if you think about it, a lot of those things that we worship and place as gods before anything can come with a sacrifice, right? Sometimes those sacrifices aren't pleasant. We chase things at the cost of our families, right? Sometimes we put work in front of our marriage. I've seen that in a lot of professionals I've worked with where you can just tell that that's their number one, right? And so, what I want to do today is take us through a journey on talking about what is worship and how is worship more than what we just did here. Now, there's plenty of scripture that supports singing praises to God and making a joyful noise and worshiping as a response to the awesomeness of God, right? Whether it was answered prayers, just being face-to-face with Jesus Christ, that was a natural response. And so worshiping like we just did is just a beautiful thing, right? And I think a lot of you, or all of you, probably say, like, those moments of worship, whether it's just one-on-one with God, can be really beautiful, right? And, our soul connecting to God himself. And so, but I want to talk about You know, that's the part that's easy to understand. But what does the word say as far as like what truly is worship, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to go through, just like last week with Cam, we're going to go through lots of scripture. So we'll have them up on the screens. Encourage you guys to look at your, you know, your word and or your lightsabers, you know, since the word is a sword. You know, I'm thinking like a cell phone version would be like a lightsaber because I'm a geek like that. But, you know, so follow along and take some notes. I think there's some great things that God wants us to look at. And so if you remember last week, Cam finished with kind of the core scripture that's going to run through this entire series, and that's in John 3:30, and it's quite simply, we must become greater, right? Or he must become greater, I must become less. And when we talk about worship, kind of makes sense, right? That we are bowing down, that we're elevating God in that posture of recognizing the awesomeness, the sovereignty, the power of God, right? That distance that, like Cam said, that we can create more and more of, less of me equals more of God and putting him first. And so it aligns quite beautifully, as you'll see as we go through this. So let's first start with, what does God's word say? What is worship? So let's jump to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So Romans 12, 1. It says here, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So worship is offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's your answer. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week. No, I'm kidding. And you know, if you remember a while ago, I think it was last year, we talked about what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? And the wording chosen here is beautiful. And you're going to see today how the narrative through the word of God is consistent with this. You know, so why the choice of these words, offer our bodies, everything that we are, as a living sacrifice? And so let's talk about what is the historical, the biblical background of what is a sacrifice. And you'll probably remember and you'll know that mostly through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, there's plenty of instances where there were sacrifices made on altars, right? Burning of, you know, animals and grain. And so sacrifices were very common back then, right? So I thought what would we do is let's look at the very first sacrifice recorded in the Bible and then the last one, if that's all right. So the first one, like you might guess, is in Genesis. So this is Genesis 8. Let's take a look at Genesis 8, 20 through 21. Now this story is, we've all heard of Noah and the ark, right? God said, Noah, build a boat. Lots of water coming, going to wipe everybody out, keep your family, two of every animal. This is going to be bad. So he does that. The rains come, the flood comes. He waits as long as he's supposed to, sends the dove out. And after finally several attempts, it brings back an olive branch. Waters recede. They finally land. All the animals and everyone's out. And the first thing that Noah does is what? So picking up on verse 20, says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Let me just stop right there. When I read this, I'm like, it had to suck to be those animals, right? Like you just went through the greatest rescue mission recorded in the Word of God. Yay, we're here, we're back on land, this is awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna sacrifice you. And then I'm wondering, like, what were those? Because if they were sacrificed, I mean, wouldn't they cease to exist? I don't know, that's how my... Well, yeah, maybe. That's kind of dark, but thanks. So for our online viewers, someone said they would be their babies, so you're welcome. So so I'll keep going. And the Lord smelled, this is the part that's kind of interesting. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. So the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma of this sacrifice. And several times, search it for yourself, several times through the scripture, mostly in the Pentateuch again, and mostly in Leviticus, this an aroma pleasing to the Lord is always said when there's a sacrifice that's offered. Back when I was a kid on the farm, you know, we didn't have trash trucks. We burnt our own trash. And being a boy, fire was cool. And I'm like, I'll burn the trash. So it was my job, and I loved to burn the trash, and I got to appreciate the accelerant of gasoline. So I'm like, this is pretty awesome. And did I use it to help me start the fire? Nah, I started it just fine. Once it's going, I'd grab a lot of gas, and I'd throw it on there, and whoosh, you know, so awesome. First time I did that, burned all the hair on my arm. And it stunk, you know, and it was, so I'm thinking, like, you know, this the Lord smelled the sacrifice that Noah offered, and it was pleasing to him. Now, obviously, it's not the smell of burnt flesh and feathers and or grain and other examples, but what was pleasing to him? If you think about it, it was the obedience to his command, right? He was pleased with the obedience of Noah doing everything that he asked, right? And you'll see that, again, in the narrative of the scriptures that we're looking at. You know, what God seeks in us is obedience. And Nick, actually, next week is going to be talking about just that. So again, it ties in really beautifully. So I won't go too far into that. So that was the first sacrifice, Noah, right? So let's jump all the way to the final sacrifice. Anyone know what that was? It was Jesus, right? So let's jump to Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 5. 1 and 2, this final sacrifice, says here, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And so God was very pleased, obviously, with the sacrifice that Jesus made. And not too long ago, right, ending at Easter, Justin just went through that series, you know, of what that whole story looked like. And that separation that Jesus had to be in from God, his Father. And so, and the power of that. And so, you know, God was obviously pleased with him. In fact, he says in Mark 1:11, saying to his son Jesus, you are my son whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. And so, you know, going back to that first scripture that we looked at in Romans 12:1, it starts to make more sense that offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, that starts to make sense, right? That my sacrifice is worship. You know, my obedience is worship. And so, you know, it's really kind of interesting that it says offer your bodies. And the way I look at it is, you know, if I'm offering the all of me on the altar to God, is it an aroma that's pleasing to him, right? And so I want to talk about that. I want to take us through five different stories of how we can look at worship holistically, everything, right? And I think at the end of this, we'll have a better idea of what does that look like if all of me is a living sacrifice that's an aroma pleasing to God. Cool? So let's take a look at this. Let's jump into Acts chapter 16. So this story here, before we read it, is Paul and Silas. They're on one of their missionary journeys. And when they're in Macedonia, there's this slave woman who's possessed by a spirit, and this spirit allows her to predict the future. And so, obviously, people still today pay for that. Her slave owners were making big money off of her, right? And so Paul and Silas roll into town. She sees there's an opportunity. She's traveling with them. She's prophesying. And finally, Paul has had enough of it. And he turns around, rebukes the spirit in her, and it leaves. Only recorded scripture that, you know, a miracle happened because someone was annoyed. You know, it was pretty awesome if you think about it that way. And so cast the spirit out of her, and immediately it left. So what do you think her owners thought about that? Well, this stinks. I was making lots of coin off of her. Now I can't. And they were upset. And so they went to the magistrate, made a complaint, and actually had Paul and Silas flogged. And that's not just a minor thing. I mean, beat them to a bloody pulp, threw them in jail. That's what happened before we read here. So Acts 16, verse 25 is where we're starting. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Hold up. So they do a good thing. They cast this, yeah, he was annoyed, but they cast the spirit out of this woman. This amazing miracle happens, and they get thrown in jail for it. and they get beaten up. And when they're in jail, by the way, they're shackled up. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know if I could get there, you know? And even just looking at my life, when I've been in those darkest times, it takes me a while, to be honest with you, to get to that place. I don't get there right away. You know, I'm scared, I'm frustrated, you know, I'm distraught, you know, depressed or whatever the situation may be. I don't rush right to worship. But look what that response did. So again, we're in Acts 16, 25, 26 now. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Wow, what a response from God our Father, right? To worshiping in a time that's the last thing that most of us would think to do. So we've got to think, what would happen if we could get to that place, right? When some of the most tragic things happen, when you're so frustrated, even when you say, but God, I think I'm doing everything right. You know, like, what the heck's happening? You know, why did you allow this to happen? Woe is me, boo-hoo. And I'm not saying, you know, our trials are trivial. Please don't misunderstand that. But what if our immediate response was, I praise you, God, you're sovereign. I trust you. You know what's going on. Help me to understand that. Give me peace, right? What would happen if we would change our perspective and our response like Paul and Silas did? So that number one point is we worship in spite of our trials. We worship in spite of our trials. As disciples of Christ, we worship in spite of our trials. Number two, we worship because we are forgiven. Amen? We worship because we're forgiven. Let's go to Luke 7, verse 36. This is such a beautiful story. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with them, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And later on, down to verse 47, after his disciples say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Says, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. So, kind of makes sense, right? She hears that Jesus is there. She's heard, obviously, about who he is. She believes in who he is and the power that he has. And she comes to him. Her life is a broken life, right? Very sinful woman. And what stood out to me every time I read this is that she was weeping. You know, and if you really focus on what you've been forgiven from, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Right? We're capable of some bad stuff. And Jesus paid the price for all of it. If you've placed your hope and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the hope that we have in an eternity with him in heaven awaits us. And that's amazing. And sometimes I'll allow myself to think of, or I'll remember things of my past and just, wow, God, you are so merciful. You are so patient. You are so gracious. How couldn't we get to a place of worship there, right? You know, when you think about that price, you know, the wages of sin is death, right? We know that price has been paid. If you really think about that and the alternative, why wouldn't we worship, right? Just like this woman did. You know, and the alabaster jar gets talked about a lot. You know, her sacrifice cost her. You know, that it was very expensive. And, you know, she still brought that and worshiped God. So, this story is really the most intimate example of worship in the scriptures. It's just so beautiful. So, we worship because we're forgiven. Number three, we worship by giving. This one took me, and I've shared this before, it took me a long time to figure this one out. You know, my motivator has always been fear, you know, and I continue to work through that, and God's been gracious, and I'm growing. It's a process. And, you know, to sacrificially give when the numbers don't seem to make sense was tough for me. but I am so thankful that I can testify that as I started to trust God more and give what I could, he met that. You know, he met that, and he continued to prove himself true. So I'm sure you're already thinking of the story. The best example of giving that we can really read is here in Mark 12. Mark 12, starting with verse 41. So Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor woman came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. She put in everything, all that she had to live on." Wow. So again, a sacrifice, right? A sacrifice is worship. She gave everything she had, a poor widow. I mean, I'm just putting myself in her sandals. You know, like, I don't know if, you know, I could do that, right? You know, and so what a beautiful story that we worship by giving. And so when we can be a cheerful giver, we can give with a heart posture of, you know, this may mean that I can't have something, but I want to give. You know, and not having the attitude of, well, I give my tithe and that's enough. I'm not going to help that neighbor out that, you know, I'm kind of feeling that prompting in my spirit to give them, to help them, buy them groceries. Nope, I do my thing. It's the church's responsibility. It's the wrong heart posture, right? And so, you know, I think our takeaway here is just to submit to God, right? To worship him, more of him, less of me. All the money we have, God gives us anything, anyways, right? Every good and perfect thing comes from above. All of your jobs, all of our sources of income, all of our sustenance comes from God anyways. Will we trust him enough that if we give in obedience to him, that he'll take care of us? Well, yeah, but I want an extra car. You know, I want this and I want that. You know, where's our heart position, right? And if we can model it after this poor widow, think about what Jesus said about her, right? She gave everything that she could. So we worship by giving. Number four, we worship by obeying God's commands. We've already kind of talked about this quite a bit, but again, I've got to go to one of the most powerful stories of obeying God's command when it was terrifying. And so we're going to jump to Genesis 22 and talk about Abraham and Isaac, right? So I'm going to start actually in verse 1. In chapter 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. I want to stop there. It starts off the story saying God is testing him. Before all this that's about to happen, God is testing Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here, and Abraham said, here I am. Verse 2, God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, and I will show you. What? Sacrifice your son. And this story, this is one of those examples in the scripture, you want so much more to be written here. Like, I mean, because the next thing it says, Abraham got his donkey, loaded up, put some wood on it, and said, Isaac, let's go. Like, wait a minute. Like, what did he say to God? Did he ask him why, or what are you going to do? And I think we have a little bit of insight here, though, which is the beauty of this story. You know, further as you read into this story, Isaac asks him as they're going. He's like, so, Dad, he's putting two and two together here. We've got the wood, but we don't have any lambs. So what's up with this? And in verse 8, Abraham answered his son. He said, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on their way together. So I think that is really insightful that Abraham's perspective is God has told me to sacrifice my son. I'm obeying his command, and I trust that he'll provide. You know, amazing. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. So Abraham gets to the location, to the altar, builds it, puts the wood down, ties up his son, grabs a knife in his hand. He's not like, okay, I'm going to count to three, God. One, two, like with your kids, don't do this, it doesn't ever work. Two and a half, two and three quarters, you know. You know, but he's got this, says he's got the knife in his hand. And an angel of the Lord says, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Oh, yes, yes, anything? You know, I can just see it now. He says, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. What does it say next here? Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And then Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So this amazing obedience required faith, didn't it? When we're talking about being a disciple, we obey God's command. We can't obey without having faith that God knows what he's doing. And if you think about it, even in the little things, that's hard. That's a hard place for us to get to. But God, dot, dot, dot. I think I know what I'm doing here. Just let me have it, God. I'm good. What if we would, again, put ourselves in a heart posture of, I'm going to obey God. Less of me equals more of God. He knows what's up, and I don't, right? And so, you know, on a day-to-day, what does that mean? And I think some examples that I can think of is, I'm sure we can all relate. Have you ever had those kind of promptings kind of in your heart of, pay for that person's groceries in front of you, or call that friend? You know, I love our men's group and the guys that are in it, and often I'll think of one of them. I'm like, I'm just going to pray for them right now, you know, whether I know why or not. You know, and I try my hardest to obey those promptings. And so I think when we show more and more obedience to even the small things, God's going to give us bigger and bigger things. Amen? So a disciple definitely worships by obeying God's commands. The fifth one, last one here, we worship by surrendering to God's will. Really close to obedience, but a surrender is quite different. And again, we've talked about this here at True North. What does that mean to fully surrender to God? And it lines up with this narrative we've been talking about, right? Less of me, more of God. I find myself more and more as I try to lean in and learn God more, that I'll just say, whatever you want, God. Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want. I've seen enough that I know that you know what you're doing. Whatever you want. And so, again, the best example here is Jesus Christ himself, right? And we just talked about this leading up to Easter, where, you know, those days leading up to Jesus being crucified, he modeled this for us, didn't he? Full surrender. And so we're going to pick it up in Luke 22, verse 41 here. So Jesus is on the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane, and it's right before he was arrested, so he's praying, if you remember. So he, Jesus, withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done, right? Now I often think of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. So submitting to God's will is necessary as a follower of Christ, as a disciple. We come to him with boldly, with what our requests are. But if we can get our heart posture to let your will be done, God, because I know you know better than I do. Let your will be done and be good with that. Then that's growth. So as we wrap it up here, I want to leave you with a challenge. And, you know, just looking back through all of these five, what are some ways that you can kind of grow your worship, right? It's more than a song. It's way more than a song. Our worshipful music, our worshipful singing is a beautiful, powerful thing, definitely. But how can you worship in the midst of your trials in spite of them, right? How can you worship by giving sacrificially, right? Or through obedience, submitting to the will of God. It's just, you know, all the way through this scripture, it's so prevalent. And remembering how we're forgiven and we've got this amazing hope of eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, we have so much to worship for. And so the one question I want to leave with you is this. You know, is your worship convenient or is it a sacrifice? Because as we've seen through all of this scripture, worship is a sacrifice, right? It's an aroma pleasing to God. All of you, your entire life is on this altar, presented to God. You know, is it an aroma pleasing to him? So we're going to sing together. It's Heart of Worship, such a beautiful worship song. Listen to the lyrics here as we sing together, that our worship is way more than a song. And quite honestly, we've made it sometimes what it shouldn't be. So let's worship together.
You guys can stand and worship. Or sit. If you want to have this be a reflective time, you can sit too. Stripped away, and I simply
Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for looking beyond, you know, our circumstances and being gracious enough to reveal your will to us. And God, so we submit to you, to your authority. God, I ask that you would give us those promptings to worship you, even in the midst of our trials and in spite of them, you know, through our giving. And we just pray, God, that you would show us and give us wisdom on how we can worship so much more than a song. We praise you and we thank you in your name. Amen. All right. Guys, thank you so much for coming. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Nick will be here preaching on obedience. Don't miss it. All right. Thanks, guys.